I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. You can find the podcast on Instagram at flipthescript.podcast, and you can support the podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/flipthescript. It's been a little while since we last spoke. I think it's actually been about 2 months to be exact. I've missed you all, and I'm back with another new episode. I'm so excited about this week's guest. It was a new reseller to me, and her name is Regina. You can find Regina on Instagram and YouTube. I've got all of her information linked in the show notes for you. Regina is a part-time reseller, a musician, a mom, a full-time social worker outside of the home, and she even manages to squeeze in YouTube to all this. How she manages her time never ceases to impress me, and you'll hear that in this episode. Without giving any more away, let's get into the episode. Hi, Regina. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you here. You and I were just chatting a little bit before we hit the record button, and I was telling you that I am a new fan and subscriber of yours and your YouTube channel. I was watching some of your videos today, but I'm excited to have this opportunity to speak with you today and learn a little bit more about you and share your journey with others. So thank you again. Yes. My first question for you, Regina, is how and when did you first start reselling?
I started reselling. It was probably about maybe 10 years ago. And I started selling because my girlfriend, she told me about Poshmark. But I was just a buyer on Poshmark because I've always liked secondhand clothing and trying to find me a deal. So I was, you know, always buying. And then I think I ran across a YouTube video. I can't remember who it was. And they was talking about selling on Poshmark. And I was thinking to myself, that's something I can do. I have so many things in my closet that I can sell. So I started selling on Poshmark, and Poshmark has such a great community. Mm-hmm. And so I started putting my clothes up there, and I got involved in the modeling and the little chats that and parties that they would have. And I did so good. So I started going to the thrift store and buying items. I was like, I can flip these items from the thrift store and just see if I can make some income on it. And I went from there. And then I had to build my nerves to go to eBay because everybody made eBay seem like it was just like a nightmare, like it was going to be hard or something. So.
And it didn't scare you off?
No, it didn't, because there's so many videos out there.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Then I started with eBay and just progressed my way on. And then I tried Mercari and then now I'm selling on Facebook Market.
So you're everywhere.
Yes. Just have a good find you everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. Okay. So you named a few different marketplaces to sell on. Have you ever tried selling on like Etsy or Depop or
I've usually just do eBay, and I stopped doing Poshmark because I don't have time to do the sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just do eBay and Mercari and Facebook Market. And I also have an antique booth. So what I do is I put a lot of items in my antique booth and I drive traffic from Facebook Market. So I advertise, I use Facebook Market as advertisement.
And your antique booth, this is somewhere local to you?
Yes. It's like 30 minutes away from me.
Oh, nice. And how did you kind of get the idea to start doing that? Was that, you know, a suggestion from somebody else, or how did you stumble upon it?
Well, I always like looking at secondhand items, and I told my husband, I said, let's go to, it's called Irondale Pickers. So let's go to Irondale Pickers. I heard so much about it. And when we went, it was so many booths in there, and all of the booths are unique, how everyone decorate and just make their booth more inviting, and the niches that they have in their booth, because everything don't have to be an antique. You can sell literally anything.
Oh, okay.
And so when I went in, I just fell in love with the whole concept of having a booth and having a niche and just putting your items in there. And I had a friend who was also doing it. And he was telling me how he drives traffic from Facebook Market. I was like, that's a very great idea.
And yeah, that's really smart.
Yes, because I don't like meeting people in public. So
yeah,
when I take a picture of the item, I just put it on Facebook Market and direct them to where it is, and they go pick it up.
That's great. So, you know, you mentioned about with having the antique booth that, you know, you have a niche. I'm curious, what's your niche there?
Well, I don't have a specific one. What I use my antique booth for is because I do not like to ship glass, mm-hmm. and I do not like to ship big items. Mm-hmm. So all of my big items that I find, I put it in my antique booth. And my, like, if I find mugs and things, any type of glass, plates, I just put it in my antique booth.
Yeah, that's smart. If I had an antique booth, I would do exactly what you're doing, because I similarly do not like shipping glass or large items.
I just don't want nothing to break or anything, and it comes back to me and get a bad rating.
Yeah. Have you had that happen when you first started selling, like on eBay or Mercari? Did you ship something and it went bad?
Did it break or anything? I've never had anything to break, and I've never received a bad rating. Thank God.
Well, that's great. that's really good. You got a perfect record.
Yes. So I am very thankful for that.
Okay. So I'm curious though, you say glass and larger items. You know, so what are you, when you're out thrifting, what sort of glass items or larger items are you putting there? Or what have you put there recently that you can think of?
Plates, casserole dishes. Let's see. I just sold a big oven roaster. It was like, it was really big and heavy. So things like that, lampshades.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of pictures, and they're heavy, mirrors. And
oh yeah, no, that's smart. I feel like mirrors are selling really well right now. Have you found that to be true?
They are. And I have a lot of albums. I definitely don't want to ship those records.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just put everything in there.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's really cool. I'm always intrigued by antique booths. They always look really cool, or like, you know, flea market booths or whatever. the different stuff is. I'm not familiar with any in my area, though I'm sure they do exist. But that's a great addition to your business. So, you know, I guess what we haven't said here or heard yet is, you know, Regina, are you, do you do this for your full-time work? Do you do reselling for full-time work, or do you have another occupation?
Yes, reselling for me is part-time because I'm a full-time social worker and I'm a musician at my church.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm working all the time. So I have to be very intentional about my time, but I love reselling. So
oftentimes when we say, you know, full-time or part-time reselling, you know, it's kind of, it's a loaded question because, you know, what does part-time mean? What does full-time mean? Right. Because a lot of times people who maybe would say that they're part-time, you know, I think traditionally people think of part-time being 20 hours. So, but a lot of resellers would define themselves as part-time and they maybe work 30 or 40 hours at reselling. Yeah. So for you, you know, how many hours do you feel like you are putting in each week on average? Because I'm sure, you know, it probably fluctuates, but how much time, you know, are do you have in your life, I guess, to dedicate to the business?
I would say 10 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's a good balance. Yeah.
That's very strategic because I get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And I take pictures and all my breaks. When I'm on my break at work, I will list, you know, my posts, my pictures, my items on eBay or from Facebook Market. And get up early in the morning and do my shipping and all of that. And I just, after work, I take my packages to the post office.
Yeah, I heard you say that in the YouTube video that I was watching. I was like, wow, she's maximizing her time. That's smart. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning to photograph items. That's amazing. I commend you for that. That's very disciplined. But like you said, you're really using your time strategically in the best way that you can. So given that you're doing a lot of the work earlier in the day, I guess by the time you're done working your job as a social worker, are the evenings, are you then reserving the evenings just as kind of like your downtime for yourself?
I reserve it for my daughter, making sure she gets her schoolwork and just, you know, doing household chores, cooking and getting ready for the next day. Now, I will put some items out that I'm going to photograph or things that I need to do. And also, I sometimes get up early to edit video. So I try to use every ounce of my time because time is so, you know, we can't get it back. So,
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And well, you know, between being a full-time employed as a social worker, being a parent, and then also reselling, And you said being a musician. That's a lot of you stretched in a lot of different ways. And, reselling is great because it can, you know, add to your income, but finding the time to make it work can, you know, be challenging. So you mentioned also that you, on top of all of these things, you also have a YouTube channel. So where are you, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but like, how are you, let me backpedal a second. Where did you get the idea that you wanted to create a YouTube channel, and how have you found the time to dedicate to it?
Well, you know, I would say I'm very introverted. So I don't socialize a lot, but when COVID hit, it was like I was really closed in, and COVID stirred up a lot of feelings. And I created my YouTube channel mainly as for like an outlet so I can connect with different people. And when I did it, it was like something inside of me was like, go ahead and create a YouTube channel so you can connect with people and, you know, have an outlet. So when I first did my first YouTube video, it was just me and my daughter. And we were just outside. I was just vlogging, really just talking about our day and how I was feeling about COVID. And so it just started from there. And then I was like, well, since I'm reselling every day and I'm always going to the post office and taking pictures, I might as well talk about that journey as well. And when I did, that is like the floodgates open up. It's like, it was like I was connecting with everybody. And I was like, I was getting so many ideas from different resellers. And I was like, let me continue to do this because people get to know you better when they can see you visually. Right. And they feel like they can connect with you better. And like I tell the reseller community, I've been watching all of you all's videos all the time. I just never did my own video.
But and I think that's that is really the difference. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just about showing yourself, which, you know, not everybody wants to do, and that's totally understandable. And it's funny that you said that you're an introvert, because I proudly claim that I'm an introvert as well. But I think it's, you know, always interesting because people think just because you have a YouTube channel or, you know, you post on social media that you must be an outgoing person, right? That's I think it kind of confuses them. They think, well, oh, I would have never imagined you're an introvert. And it's like, well, that's because I only have to talk to the camera. I don't have to talk to anybody else. So, okay. So you found that once you start posting the reseller content, that's when a lot of people just started finding your videos. I mean, did you have like a video that did really well that attracted a lot of attention, or was it a slow progression?
It seemed like it was progressing steady when I started doing reseller content, and it was like people were so nice. And if you had any questions about anything, about postage, or how to ship things, or just trying to find out about different items, they were just so helpful. Just a wonderful community.
And you mentioned to me before we started recording that you also do a live show. When did you start doing the live show? Because again, as an introvert, that's really kind of putting yourself out there to go live.
Yes, it is. And that was nerve-wracking, especially trying to use StreamYard. But I used to be in all the other resellers' lives all the time. And one of my reseller friends, his name is Derek from Fundamentals of Side Hustling. I was always commenting on his videos because I was just very intrigued with how he makes 6 figures a year just by selling on eBay. And I was like, I want to learn how to do that. So I was watching his videos all the time, and he just hit me up out the blue randomly. He was like, how about we start a live on Wednesday? Do you think that'll be something you're interested in doing with me? And I was like, yeah, we can do that. But, you know, I thought he was joking. So I just thought he was just thinking of something out the blue and didn't really mean it. And come to find out, he was serious, because he hit me up again. He was like, look, I'm going to hit you up Friday, and we're going to go ahead and test this live out. I was like, oh my God, he's for real. And so when we did the live, my connection was horrible.
Oh no.
I had to get a stronger Wi-Fi connection. I had to have the cable company to come out and fix the connection. And it was very embarrassing. But we made
it. Happens to the best of us.
It does.
Yeah. But, I feel like, you know, it's like a rite of passage. You know, you've got to have a live go wrong. You gotta mess something up in your social media journey as a reseller.
Yes. But I can
okay,
tell
so you, so hmm. Do you continue to do the show with him, or you know, is it with other people?
Yes, what we do is we alternate the show on each one of our channels. He have it on his channel on one Wednesday, and then the next it'll run on mine. But we have guests on there. And most of them are resellers or YouTubers. And it's hump day hangout. So we'll talk about a little bit of reselling, but we don't keep it on reselling. We like to try to talk about, you know, ordinary things, just what goes on in the world and things.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like, because I think a lot of times people have a belief that if you have a reselling YouTube channel, then it will increase your sales in your eBay store or your Poshmark store. Do you feel like there's the correlation, or that you've had an increase in sales because of your YouTube channel, or no?
I do think I've had an increase in sales because, and it's not, it's more from my viewers.
Mm-hmm.
They will buy things because they, because I'm showing the items that I'm selling, and mm-hmm. they can visually see me, that I'm a person that's trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And so they buy things from me.
That's great. Yeah, that's the best case scenario.
I've also had viewers to buy things out of my antique booth. I tell them what items I'm selling in my antique booth, and they send me an email message, and I ship it out to them.
Oh, nice. That's great. So you're willing to make exceptions for them? You'll ship some stuff?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's no selling fees.
Right. This is true. Yeah. We love a platform or marketplace that doesn't charge us any fees. Those are the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, we first started talking about, you know, where you started out with reselling, that it was on Poshmark, and then you dipped your toe over to eBay, saw that it wasn't so bad. You also tried out Mercari. You've got Facebook Marketplace, the antique booth. So those are kind of where you're selling now. But I'm curious, so are you not selling on Poshmark at all anymore, or just not as much?
Just not as much. I'm mm-hmm. trying to, I think I'm just going to do a niche on Poshmark. I think I'm just going to sell shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, shoes are a great return on investment. And I think that that's a great idea, just starting a shoe store. You know, when I was watching one of your YouTube videos today, I saw that, you know, I mean, you started on Poshmark, which is obviously a platform where people sell clothing primarily, but, you know, they've mm-hmm. branched out a little bit to, I think they've added, like, you know, home goods and toys and stuff like that. But I saw in one of your videos that you had, like, you sold a DVD, right? I think it was like the Revenge of the Nerds DVD set.
Yes,
I don't know which that was video it was.
A good flip, too.
That was what? Yeah, a good flip?
It was a good flip, yes.
Oh, we love a good flip. So, you know, I guess, what are you selling these days? I mean, it sounds like it's not really limited to clothing. Are you picking, you know, how are you deciding what you want to sell?
I like this. I still love clothing, but after connecting with the reseller community, they just gave me more ideas on what I can sell on eBay. I started mm-hmm. learning about hard goods that I can sell. Mm-hmm. And I will sell anything now. Like, I'm into books now, the DVDs, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the games, anything that's small hard goods. Mm-hmm. I will do the mugs, because I learned how to ship them without breaking them.
Yeah, what's your secret?
Lots of bubble wrap and paper. Yes,
I know. Yeah, sadly, I broke a bowl once, and I never have shipped ceramics again.
I understand.
it's tough. Okay, so, you know, I guess, you know, was there a hard good item that kind of drew you in? Like, you know, after you've been in the clothing space for so long, did you have like a really great flip on a hard good item that you were like, okay, there's more than just clothing in the world?
Let's see. I haven't had one that's just that generated a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I do things that's like what we call bread and butter. Just
mm-hmm.
that if you can find something for a dollar or two and flip it for $10 or $12, mm-hmm. I do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bread and butter items pay the bills. They add up.
like I sold a teacher, it's like a bookend, little mm-hmm. small bookend, things like that. I sold a Duck Dynasty, little stuffed animal, mm-hmm. and just little small things. I try not to yeah. do something too big.
Right. And I think I saw, you know, when I was looking at your YouTube channel earlier today, that it looked like you've done a little bit of liquidation. Is that right?
Yes. I like bulk.com and mm-hmm. Wholesale Ninjas.
Wholesale and Ninjas? Is that the other one you said?
Yes. Wholesale Ninjas. And I like, because I can sell that makeup on Facebook Market. People love their makeup. Mm-hmm. So I like to sell the makeup on Facebook Market.
So how did you kind of get the idea to start doing liquidation? I mean, is this something that somebody else kind of maybe recommended that you try, or you just want to give it a shot? Because, you know, a lot of times people have apprehension about getting into liquidation because they're scared of what they're going to get, right? If there's no manifest, they get really nervous about the condition of the items, and then obviously the brands of the items.
Yes. And that's why I use Bulk, because they do have a manifest, so you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But I got the idea from another reseller. Mm-hmm. And that one, Bulk, was the one that stood out to me because of the manifest that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and nice that they have manifests.
Yeah, they have some that's like customer returns, and I don't like customer returns because you never know what the condition of the item is going to be after the customer returns it.
Right.
So I always get the shelf pulls, the items that mm-hmm. they pull. Mm-hmm. And I just like to use it as a store filler because I'm not able to go to the thrift store a whole lot, mm-hmm. you know, working. So I just use Bulk to fill up my store field.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that you don't like getting the customer returns liquidation lots. Mm-hmm. Did you order one time and have it, you know, is that how you learned you don't like them, or just in general,
I have people that's on YouTube that talks about them all the time. And I was like, right. I'm not fixing to make that mistake. My money is, I don't want to lose any money. So
yeah. Yeah. I learned the hard way with liquidation once on a customer returns. It was not fun.
No, it's not. And I like doing the auctions. Bulk have auctions that you can do with the shelf pull. So mm-hmm. I don't like to pay full price. So I will go ahead and do an auction.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you said they're putting a lot of it on Facebook Marketplace. That's actually a really great idea. So with Facebook Marketplace, are you offering local pickup, or do you ship from there?
I do shipping only, and I, for local, I just tell them they can get it at my antique booth, and they're willing to go to my antique booth, and I just put all the information in the description and let them know my booth number, mm-hmm. and that's the only local sales that I do.
And I, you know, remind me, because you probably do, it sounds like you do a lot more Facebook Marketplace selling than I do. I've, you know, casually done it in the past. Are they charging fees right now, or is it no fees?
They just started charging fees, and I can't remember, but it's very small.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, darn it. It was fun while it lasted, right?
Yes. But it's so, Facebook Market is so easy. You don't have to worry about your pictures being in square mode and all of that. You just post it up there. That's true. Everything populates so easy.
Yeah, it is pretty simple. I've generally only used it for local pickup. I don't think I've yet shipped on there, but I've seen the process. I mean, it looks fairly simple because they provide the label for you. Is that correct?
They do. And the selling cost, I think it's like 2%. It's very low. Like, it's one mm-hmm. of the lowest selling costs you can come across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no 2%. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, with all that said about, you know, the liquidation and all the different platforms that you're selling on, can you tell me about where you're keeping everything? Where do you, what's your workspace look like?
So yeah, I dedicated a room downstairs in my house. I have a lot, my bins where I keep everything organized in, and upstairs is where I have my office where I print off everything.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my items are stored downstairs, and I come upstairs in my office and do my shipping.
Okay.
And I take pictures downstairs.
Okay. So you kind mm-hmm. of got, you know, some area set up in your home. You know, it sounds like you kind of got it set straight, but, you know, I think a lot of times the resellers will feel like, you know, the business starts to infringe on other parts of your home. Have you experienced yeah. that where it's bleeding into different areas of the house?
Initially I did, yeah. but I was like, I didn't, because one time it was in my guest bedroom mm-hmm. and I didn't want items in the guest bedroom because you have guests and they have to be in here with all of this inventory. So I was like, let me move this downstairs and yeah. get it organized. Mm-hmm. And so my best friend, she came over and helped me get the room set up. Cause you know, environment is very important too. If you don't like the way your environment feels, I just right. don't flow well if my environment is not
I agree.
So she came mm-hmm. in and got everything organized for me.
That's great. Me. Yeah. Speaking of friends, you know, what do your friends and family think of your reselling journey?
Oh, they love it. And they're very helpful. They helpful because if they have something that they're not using around the house, they give it to me. And free stuff is always good.
Yeah. Free stuff is always the best. You know, because you started reselling, did you inspire any like of your friends to want to start doing it or?
I yeah, did. You know. My best friend who came over to help me organize, she sells, and my sister sells now.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it's great. I always encourage people. I mean, it's not for everyone. Not, you know, you probably know, yeah. not everybody likes doing it. But, you know, when people get the bug, it can be a really fun way to make extra money for sure. So,
it is. So,
you know, we talked about how, you know, you're working full-time as a social worker, you're a mom, you're also a musician, and you're a reseller and a YouTuber. You kind of have a lot on your plate, and, you know, you've got, yeah. sounds like you're managing your time pretty well, but I'm curious, you know, what challenges you feel like you face in your business right now?
The challenges is I just have to be really strategic with my time and just try to be very intentional with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when I get off from work, the post office is closing, and that can be a challenge. And if you're trying to deliver packages, so I have to make sure I use my lunch break sometime to go deliver packages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as far as my,
go ahead.
And as far as like, sometimes I find challenges with my antique booth, because if I have a large item that won't fit in my cart, and I have to get somebody with a truck so mm-hmm. I can get the item delivered to the antique booth. So that sometimes that can be a problem.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. On the bigger items, that could be an issue, but yeah, it sounds like the timing for you would be like the biggest thing, because you kind of have to have all of the dominoes line up perfectly.
Yes. But in the
go ahead.
But in the beginning, I used to misplace items.
Uh-huh. I still do that.
Oh God, I cannot stand that I spend all day and it just take up so much time. And you know you I have know. The item. You just don't know which bins you put it in.
Yes. I feel that so hard. I feel like that's like a daily occurrence. I'm like, where is, I know I just saw that thing last week.
Yes.
But so which bin is it in?
So that's why I had to have my friend, she's very good at organizing. I was like, you're going to have to help me. I can't. It just stirs up my anxiety when that happens. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, like you said, you really do have to, you know, make space, a space or spaces for the business in your home, and try, you know, try your best to kind of have it out of sight for when you're not doing it.
Yes.
To kind of maintain that good mental balance, you know, where you don't feel like it's staring you down all the time and that you should be working on it or whatever the case might be, or just that it's like, it's there.
Yes, because that builds up anxiety because you're seeing it. You're like, I need to be doing this.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's hard to like look at a pile of stuff you just brought home from the thrift store and it's just staring at you, right? And you feel like, yes. I need to photograph this. I need to get it listed. It's just looking at me. It's been there a week now. And yeah, it's really a different anxiety that people who don't resell don't understand, because to us, we see it as a pile of money looking at us, right? We just put all of this money into this shopping bag full of items and we need to get a return on it. Otherwise we just threw away our money.
That's right.
Yeah. It's stressful. Yeah. I feel you on that. So, well, I guess on the flip side of this, you know, where do you see the future of your reselling business going? I mean, do you want to continue to grow on other platforms or continue to grow your YouTube channel? You know, what does it look like for you?
I would like to continue to expand my eBay store. Right now I have about 300 and some items in my eBay store. And I've mm-hmm. always wanted to have at least 500 to 800 items.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my goals, is to get to, and I have to take baby steps. I would like to be at 500 items like in the next 6 months. So I'm gonna have to be doing some listing.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Yes. One day at a time, right?
Exactly. One listing at a time.
Yes. One listing at a time. That sounds like a good YouTube name.
Right? So true. One listing at a time. Or, yeah.
And with my YouTube channel, I would love to be monetized. So yeah. That's something that I'm working on.
Yes. Yeah, so everybody who's listening to this episode, I will put a link in the information in the show notes, but definitely go check out Regina's channel and join her for her live hump day chats, which I love that's called hump day.
Yes,
on Wednesdays. It's very fitting. But yeah, I mean, you'll definitely get there. It's the road to getting monetized is tough. And, you know, I think it's always kind of that delicate thing to talk about it, because you don't want to, you know, when you talk about it, you don't want to say, well, I'm only doing this for the money, right? You know, like to get paid. But the truth and the reality is that creating content like YouTube videos mm-hmm. takes up time, right? And you just talked to us about how precious your time is, right? And so to be compensated for that time would be nice, you know, because the 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours, whatever that you're spending on making these videos could be dedicated to photographing and listing more items, right? Which has a better return on investment than doing work for free, you know?
That's right.
That's yeah. Right. But the reason that people create YouTube, or I hope that people create mm-hmm. YouTube content or content in general, like you said, is to connect with people, right? You know, you found yourself. You found yourself in the pandemic wanting to, even as an introvert, connect with mm-hmm. people. And so it's really a social and creative outlet for a lot of people, and just getting paid for it is the icing on the cake.
Yes. And when you can connect with someone from Sweden,
right?
France, I'm like, that's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So many different people across the country. I mean, right here I am in Washington State and you're in Alabama, you know?
Yes, I love it.
And we're connected by reselling, which is crazy.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing.
It really is. Yeah.
And you can, I just feel like exposure expands you. So like the more people you meet with different ideas and you collaborate, it just makes you stronger. So
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, the reselling community is so great about sharing information with each other, or sharing as much information as we can, right, with each other.
Yes.
And helping others, right? Because I don't know, I've always thought to myself, helping somebody else, I don't know, it doesn't hurt me, right?
It does.
It might take up a little bit of my time. Okay. Right. You know, I'm not going to spend hours on it, but if I can provide somebody with a little nugget that might be helpful for them, that's not going to hurt me. It's no sweat off my back.
Yes. And you can take it even further. You help them, you're helping their family too.
Yes. So true. The impact, we don't even know the impact sometimes. I mean, I'm sure you've probably had people reach out to you, or you've reached out to people and said, hey, like, because of your content or whatever, I was able to do this, that, or this, right? Maybe people were able to save for a vacation or something different like that. So the impact is so huge.
It is. And, you know, I use a lot of my income from eBay for the vacations.
Oh, that's great.
And that's a wonderful thing to be able to go somewhere and not have to use, you know, household funds. You can just use the money you made from reselling and have a wonderful time.
Yeah, exactly. And know that you're not going, hopefully, you know, into any credit card debts or anything like that, because you save this money up. Yeah, it's amazing what people can do. I mean, I've seen people pay off student loans.
Yeah,
college student loans. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, those are such a huge burden, and to be able to do that because of selling other people's discarded items on the internet is pretty wild.
It is. I'm thankful for it.
Amen. I'm thankful for it too.
Yes.
Changed my life. So
are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
So my last question for you is, Regina, what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out reselling?
I would have definitely told myself to make sure you learn more about posting packages, because I would ship something and thinking it's going to be first class and it ends up being a pound. And
like you didn't charge the buyer enough.
Yes. And I end up losing money.
Yeah. So. But don't you feel like, I feel like that's a rite of passage too, right? You got to mess up. You have to mess up the shipping in the beginning.
Yes.
Because that's kind of how you learn, right? You lose money one or two times and you realize quick what you don't want to do anymore.
That's right. It may be hard, but it's a lesson.
It is. Yeah. I think I've been there. Yeah, for sure. You know, just with eBay in general, I mean, you know, you said that you had seen a lot of, you know, content online where people dog on eBay and say they don't like it for this, that, whatever, right? And, and you started out on Poshmark and were loving Poshmark. You were doing really well over there. Right. And now here you are on eBay and seem to have a thriving business and aren't, you know, you're not paying as much attention to Poshmark. So, you know, what advice would you give maybe to somebody who's nervous about starting eBay?
I would say, don't be nervous. eBay has improved everything as far as you can list from your phone. They have an eBay app. It's very easy to navigate. And just don't be intimidated by it. Once you get your first listing up, you know, you will be doing good. So don't be intimidated.
Yeah, I think you you just have to jump in and experience it and stick with it. Don't you feel like, Regina, that you can't just do it for like a week, right?
No.
Yeah, you got to do it like at least a month.
Yes. Don't give up.
Yeah. Give it a month. And because go ahead.
I think some people think that when they list the item, it's going to sell like the next day. Just have some realistic expectations. It may take a while for the item to sell, but just give it some time and it'll come across the right buyer. And once you get that first cha-ching, you'll be hooked. You will be hooked.
Oh my gosh, that noise is like so addicting.
Yes, one time I didn't get a cha-ching and I called eBay. I was like, I don't think my cha-ching is working.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Because I love to hear that sound. So I'm telling you, once you hear that cha-ching, you'll be trying to find everything to list.
It's so true. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've been around other friends who resell and you hear their cha-ching go off and it's like, wait, whose was that?
Yes. Everybody looking around. That's how we do on yes, that's how we do on the live show. Sometimes our cha-ching will sound and everybody be like, who was it? Who was it? You would think we were in the stock market or something.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's like a game of bingos. Who won?
Yes.
That's so funny. Well, thank you so much, Regina, for being on the show with me today and giving us some insight into your business and some really great advice as well for people who are looking to jump into other marketplaces, because we both know that that's a really scary thing. And people have a lot of apprehension about it, but I'm really excited about your YouTube channel. I'm new to it. And hopefully anybody who's not already subscribed will go check that out and join you on your live calls. But yes, thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Well, I will talk with you soon, my friend.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Regina for being on this week's episode of the podcast. It was such a pleasure getting to know you and learn more about your business. I am eternally impressed with your time management skills, and I'm so excited for the continued growth of your YouTube channel. Again, you can find Regina on Instagram and YouTube, and all of this information is linked in the notes of this episode. Thank you to everyone for being patient while it took me a little while to return to podcasting. I really hope you enjoy this episode and have a great rest of your week. Bye.